Hey guys, how are you? Somebody in the front was honest and said, eh. Well, my name is Brad and I'm the middle school and young adult pastor here, and I haven't got to see you guys at all this year. So, hey, we only got like 3 more weeks left. Why not, you know, come in here right here at the end? But it was funny because me and Todd swapped tonight. So I was in here during the middle school service just watching Todd teach middle school, which he doesn't do anymore. He did it at the church he was at before he came to Westridge, and so he forgets like how literal middle schoolers are. And so he was asking them a question to just think, right? You know, just think introspectively. Think it, keep it to yourselves, you know. And he asked like a serious question. Not a super embarrassing one, thankfully, but it was like a question he wanted them to just think out loud. He's like, so do any of you guys just follow Jesus because you just have to? And they're all like, yeah, yeah. He's like, no. Just keep it to yourself. So just think about it, you know. Who follows Jesus because they have to? And they did it again. Yeah, yeah. And I could just see it. He's like, man, I forget how crazy these guys are. And they're like, he's like, no, seriously. You don't say it out loud. Just think about it. So that's the world I've been in. And now I'm here with you guys. So I don't even know what to do. Yes, I do. I'm just kidding. But I'm excited to be with you guys. This is the first night of Fake. And we've been doing this for a couple weeks in middle school. So I was excited to get to kick it off in here with you guys. Because it's such a huge thing as far as being fake. I think all of us can recognize fakeness. When people are being something different than what they say they are. Or vice versa. I think all of us can recognize it, but one of the things I thought of when I was just thinking about fakeness right out of the gate, like as soon as I started thinking about this series, was fake pictures on the internet. Like I get tricked by fake pictures sometimes. Like I'll be on the internet and I'll see this poster for a movie coming out, and it's like a movie. I'm like, dude, this would be so cool if they made this movie one day. And then I see this movie poster come out for this movie, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing it! Yes! And then I research the picture and then find out it's fake. Someone photoshopped it. And like, I'm crushed, dude. You know how you get this pumped about something, excited about something, and then you come to find out it's a lie? And your like world crumbles for a second? And you're either really sad and you cry, or you're really angry and you punch someone in the face? You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's the way this fakeness stuff can work with us. So there was this one, there's sometimes pictures you find on the internet that you just know they're fake immediately. Like, it doesn't take much to figure out they're fake. You know, like this picture. It's quite obvious this is not accurate. It was good days when I used to play on the Bulls. My real name, not a lot of people know this. My real name is Mitchell Johnson. Some people just call me MJ. And back in the day, I was really good at basketball. No, I love basketball, and I'm terrible at it, but I love it. And so I will sometimes do things like this and put it on my wallpaper, just because I like to dream. Never stop dreaming, guys, and that's the message tonight. I'm kidding, that's not the message. But you can definitely tell this is fake. But then you see a picture like this, and I saw this picture, and I was like, dude, rescue guy's about to get eaten. Jaws just came up out of the water. I saw this picture on like a fake news thing, and I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my word, what happened to this guy? I'm going to go visit him and encourage him if he's alive. Because the way that trajectory of that shark's going, it doesn't look good. It's going right for the head. But I researched it and then found out this thing was fake too. I'm like, man, people are really good at Photoshop. Because that looks real to me at first. And then you look a little bit closer and it starts to look less real. But at first glance, you're like, oh my word, this is crazy. But it's the same thing. You see this picture and I got like started getting all amped up emotionally, like, oh my goodness, dude, this guy just got eaten by a great white shark. He probably just saved someone's life and now he's getting eaten. And then find out it's fake and it's like, oh man, now I don't know if I can trust the internet for anything. Ever. And you know that you just feel like you should be able to trust the internet. Anything on it should be true. But it's just not. And it's the same thing with people. Like, you wish you could believe everything that a person says and does, but what we all know to be true is that you can't, right? No amens for that at all. Like, that you just can't trust people? I mean, you really can't. Like, somebody will tell you something, and most of us would be like, yeah, okay, we'll see. Somebody says that they're really good at something. You're like, okay, we'll see you do it. And then we'll see if you're really good at it. And I think we've been conditioned by things like American Idol, because people think they can sing, and then they go up there and they sing. It's like, that's not technically singing. Or people say that they're really smart, and then they try to help you with homework or a test, prepping for a test or something, and you come to realize that they don't even know how to add. Things like that. I mean, you realize people are fake all of the time. And so this problem has been going on for years and years and years. It's actually the number one turnoff for people coming to church is this issue. Have you heard the whole reason people don't go to church is because of hypocrites, right? Well, that's fakeness. That's what that is. So it's the biggest reason people don't want to have anything to do with Christians, the church, and typically don't want to hear about Jesus. It's not because of who Jesus is. It's because of the people that follow Jesus. And so tonight in this series is really all about that. How do we not be those people? So we're going to start with a verse, and it's actually a few verses, and it's from 1 Timothy chapter 3. So let me read it to you, and then we're going to start to dive into this, okay? It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents." None of you are that way, I'm sure. "Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And check this out. This is the last verse we'll read. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people." So we get this letter and this warning about these people that are living this particular way. And the way you could sum them up is they're doing all these things, they're pursuing all these things, they live this certain way, but yet they have a form of godliness, but yet they deny its power. This is basically the person that says, if you were to ask them point blank, "Are you a Christian?" And them say yes, but then everything in their life points to the fact that they don't believe in God. There's been books written about this called Christian Atheists. Craig Rochelle, a pastor in the U.S., he's written a book on this. He's done talks on this. I mean, the way we live our life speaks even more so than our words actually speak. So even though some of us will say we're Christian, the way we live our life says otherwise, right? We've either seen people be this way or we've been this way. We've seen ourselves be this way. And so our goal is to not be those people. The Bible's even warning to stay away from those people. So why in the world would we want to be those people? That our goal is to not be that. We don't want to be fake. That is the definition of fake. We want to be people who are genuine. We want to be people who are real. We want to be people who actually are being fully devoted to Jesus. This is our mission statement here at Westridge. We want to have an authentic faith. And so if we want to actually be those people and not be these people that we just read about, we don't want to be fake people. We've got to actually acknowledge where we're at currently, okay? So I've got four stools here. So I'm going to move this table here so you can see the stools. They're normal, ordinary stools, but they're going to represent four different stages of our fakeness, okay? So each one will progress to the next stage. We'll start down here. And this first stool represents what we'll call the unknown fakeness, right? This is where you are fake, but you don't know you're fake. What do you mean, Brad? What are you talking about? Well, you think you're alive, but you're not. You're dead. You're dead inside. You think you're living life to the fullest. You think you're who you were made to be, yet you don't know God. You don't know Jesus. You don't know the ultimate purpose in life. You don't know this real love that we read about and experience when we come to know Jesus. So you don't really know what real living is. So you don't know that you're being fake, but you are. You're a, a fake person in the sense that you're not fully alive. You're not fully who God made you to be in the first place, and you don't even know it. So this would be the unknown fake person who just doesn't know, because they don't know God, they don't know Jesus, and they're just doing what comes natural. And what comes natural is selfishness, sin, things that ultimately pull us away from God. So unknown fakeness. Then you go to this next seat. Now this would be, just for the sake of continuity, known fakeness. You know you're fake. You know all the right things to do, to say, but yet you really don't do them all the time, and you don't care when you don't do them. So you know you're fake, and you don't necessarily care. You're cool with keeping up the facade that you're fake. So check this verse out in 1 John chapter 2. This is verses 3 and 4. It says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person." So this person is described as that. They're fake. They're lying ultimately when they say, "Yes, you know, I come to church. I'll bow my head when I pray because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. I'll say that I read the Bible. I'll say that I pray. I'll say that I follow Jesus and I love him with everything I've got." Yet you know, ultimately, you're not doing those things. You don't live those things out truly. You might pray when you're asked in small group. You might pray right before a big test because you know you need to pass it in order to graduate or to go to the next grade or whatever the case is. You throw up a prayer every once in a while when you have a really good meal. But at the end of the day, you know the right things to do. You have a lot of head knowledge about who God is, but not a lot of that has transferred into any aspect of your life. And you don't really care that it hasn't. So then you move over to this next stage, this next seat. And we'll call this removing fakeness. You realize you're fake. You realize you got areas in your life where you're not living out what you know to be true about who you are as a human being, who God made you to be. But then when you realize those areas of your life, you see those, you give them over to God. You're trying to remove them. You're trying to get rid of them. You're trying to make those things real as you continue to give control over to God. So this makes sense when you look at these verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." The working out of your salvation is what this is. It's you trying to let God, it's just you giving control back over to God for your salvation to continue to get worked out, and you become more and more who God made you to be, and ultimately look more and more like, take a guess at it, starts with a J, ends with an Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Amazing. So that's the hope that we're getting to this place. Because ultimately, we're going to wind up in this seat, and this is the real you. This is who God made you to be. This is where we get when we're with Jesus forever. Now, we're not there yet. All of us are here, or we're here, or we're here, because we're not here yet. This is heaven. This is eternity. This is God making us complete again. But our goal is to get here. We're trying to get here as quick as we can, because the closer we get to this, the closer we are to God. And the closer we get to who we really are made to be, the more we're living in what God's called us to do with our life. Would you agree with that? The closer you get to who God made you to be is you getting closer and closer to what God has for you and what he made you for in the first place. And so we want to progress down this line. But we got to acknowledge the fact that we've got fakeness. So I hope you picked up on the fact that every single seat has fakeness in it. There's not one of you in here that's not fake at least a little bit. We all have that in us, and we're working on getting rid of it and becoming less and less fake and more real. And the more real we become, the more people are able to see Jesus in our life and to see God in our life and experience who he actually is. Check this out in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's this. You are going to be complete. You're going to be real. You're going to be no longer fake in any area of your life. You will be completely who God made you to be on the day of Christ Jesus, when we're back with him forever. So that's going to happen. That is our hope. That is our future. That is where we're headed. So here in the right now, it's where are we in that process of getting to that? Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Are we fake and we don't really care that we're fake? Are we just going through motions? Are we just playing church? Are we just playing Christianity because that's what a lot of people do and it seems like the right thing to do, but you don't really necessarily have that motivation to really be that? Or maybe you're sitting somewhere in between some seats, right? You might be like right here, kind of doing this number, just kind of hanging out. Notice the muscle tone. Just kidding. You might be hanging out between these two seats. You might be hanging out between these two seats. You're like, I think there's a higher power. I believe that there might be a God. I don't know much about him. I don't know how you get to him. I don't know. There's a lot I don't know, but I do believe there's something out there. And so it's a step, and it's starting to go towards who you ultimately are meant to be and who God made you to be in the first place. But where are you? Because if you're not honest with at least where you are, you're never going to get to where you want to go. That scared the mess out of me. I'm literally going to go change my pants real quick. I'll just assume that was like the demons being exorcised out of the sound system or something. Are we good, Chandler? Are we all right? Okay. I hope we're not blowing anything up. All right. So now that we're all awake again, How do you assess where you're at? Like, how do you figure out where you're at? And the key is what we've already mentioned. You got to just start with being honest. Some of you might need to ask somebody. And you got to be not afraid of the answer. Because all of us can see fakeness in somebody else really easily. Usually we see it in somebody else a lot easier than we see it in ourselves. So sometimes we need to ask people. Now, you don't want to just go ask Joe Schmo that you don't know very well, hey, am I fake? I mean, they don't know. They'll say whatever you want them to say. Or they'll just be a jerk and be like, yeah, you're real fake. Now get out of my face because I don't know you. Talk to the elbow because you're not worth the extension. I'm sorry. It came to my head. I had to say it. So you might need to ask somebody, hey, do I strike you as fake? Do you see areas in my life where I'm fake? And giving them permission to be honest with you and tell you what those areas are, what those things that they see are. And then hopefully, maybe that can be mutual. That's really how small groups are supposed to work. They're supposed to be like that. They're supposed to be mirrors that you can look in and see because people are being honest and transparent with you and telling you, hey, in an encouraging, loving way, dude, you're missing the mark here. Girl, step it up right here. And they're doing that for you, but you're doing that for them right back. And in the process, you're getting closer and closer to the real you, the you God made you to be. You're looking more and more like Jesus. And we're less and less fake. And ultimately, because of that, we're turning less people away from Jesus. We're turning less people away from God. And even more than that, you have the peace in your own heart, your own soul, of knowing you have the integrity of you're trying to follow Jesus with your whole heart. And there's so much joy wrapped up in that. There's so much peace that God brings in that. That's when we really get to experience his love and his grace, when we're really pressing into that relationship with him, giving him areas of our life that are uncomfortable for us to give to him, and letting go of, we're just going to do whatever we want, we're going to know what the right thing to do, but then yet not live it at all. And this is, honestly, this is where we see the disconnect when we see a student who, for whatever reason, stops coming to Reckless at some point. There might be, name the grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, it doesn't matter. But a student who we haven't seen in a while, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, we'll hear about that student and what's going on in their life. And it breaks our heart, because a lot of times what the news is of what's going on in that student's life is totally contrary to the things that God's called them to. And there's all kinds of negative effects going on in their life because of that, because they've chosen either to live for themselves, or they've chosen sin, or they've chosen basically anything other than the things that God's called them to. It's just caused destruction and chaos, depression, so many negative effects. And we hate to see that, but even more than that, God hates to see that. It breaks his heart when we do that. Because we're ultimately choosing this thing that's an imitation of life, that's not real life, that doesn't bring us closer to who we really are. It just keeps us trapped in this fake shell of a person that we think is real. And it isn't. It's fake life. A lot of times it's fake happiness. It's fake joy. It doesn't last. It's not real. The only thing that's ultimately real is the things of God. And I know that sounds super churchy. And I know that sounds like something that you should hear here, but it's only because it comes from the Bible, which was written by God, who knows everything. So why wouldn't we say that if that's what's true? And so my hope and my prayer for you tonight is that you would be honest with yourselves on what's real in your life right now. Where are you fake in your life right now? Are you sitting in seat 1, 2, or 3? Again, you can keep it to yourself. But all of us are somewhere. We're in one seat or another. We're fluxing between a couple seats, but we're here in this spectrum somewhere. So if we're going to be this person that God made us to be, if we're going to be real, we're going to quit being fake, we're going to experience the life God actually has for us, then let's acknowledge where we are and start to try to move down the line. Let's try to move to the next seat. If you're sitting here, which I'm going to be honest with you, man, there's a lot of Christians sitting right here. You could ask him, do you know who Jesus is? Absolutely, I know who Jesus is. Yes. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? Yeah. Are you experiencing life-changing love and grace every day in your life? Like, do you go out of your way to just ask God what he wants you to do in a particular situation? I mean, kind of, maybe. So let me ask you this. So if you mess up and you do something that you just know is something God asked you not to do, we call that sin. If you sinned, would you feel bad about it? It depends on what it is. Like, if I killed somebody, yeah, I maybe would feel a little bad, but mostly because I'd have to go to jail. Because that's kind of the question, right? It's like, why? What made you feel bad about that? Like, do you feel bad just because you got a negative consequence now? Because that was me as a kid growing up. Like, I did something wrong, did something bad. I sometimes wouldn't feel bad because I did something wrong. I would feel bad because now I have to be grounded for a week. Or I'd have to go to detention or whatever the discipline was. It wasn't necessarily because of I just did something wrong. And so for us as Christians, the hope is that we get to the point where we want to change our thoughts, our actions, the things we're doing with our life, not just because it's got a consequence to it, but because it breaks God's heart. We're missing out on something better. Like, we're not honoring the God who loves us more than anyone ever could. If we can get to that point, then we can start to progress down this line. We can start to acknowledge areas that are fake and allow God to take those and turn them into something real. And so ultimately, if we will be completely who we really are, then we have to be totally focused on Jesus. We have to go after Jesus with everything we've got. And so that's the thing that's going to make us real. That's the thing that's going to help us to continue to stay humble and to acknowledge when we mess up. Because those are the kind of people that I like to be around, like somebody who, when they screw up and they mess up and they acknowledge it, they're like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, I did this. I said I was going to do this, but I did this. I'm sorry. They're honest. Like, it doesn't mean you don't mess up. It doesn't mean you don't have areas where you continue to fail. But when you do, you acknowledge, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do better in this because ultimately I'm trying to follow Jesus. He's perfect. I'm probably going to mess up in trying to be perfect, but I'm going to keep trying. And it makes it so much easier to just be real. Because when you acknowledge you're following Jesus, it's acknowledging that you are going to mess up. And that's just honesty. That's just real. That's attractive. That's something that draws people to you. And it continues to push that fake you down and aside and continues to embrace more of who you really are. And so my hope for me, my hope for you is that we would just be more and more real and less fake. That we would get closer and closer to the real us that God made us to be. Especially here at the end of the year, man. You guys got 3 more weeks of school left. You might have been living fake all year. But God can do a lot in 3 weeks. God can change a lot in 3 weeks. And so it's not too late for you to say, you know what, I'm done being fake. I'm going to put the facade down. I'm going to quit acting like I'm a Christian. I'm going to start being a Christian. I'm going to start just saying that I love Jesus. I'm going to start loving Jesus. I'm going to stop just saying I'm sorry for things because I'm afraid of the consequence. I'm going to say I'm sorry for things because I love God. And I don't want to break his heart. I want to honor him. I want to love him with everything I've got. So I'm going to obey his commands, not because I just have to and it's all about the rules. It's because I want to, because I love him and I know he loves me. And so this command has got to be a good thing for me. And then we don't have to be these people that we read about at the very beginning that have this form of godliness but deny its power. We can actually experience godliness and even experience the power that comes along with it. Because God has already defeated sin. He's already defeated the weaknesses and the fakeness that's in us. We can overcome that, not because we can, but because he has. And so as we do that, as we embrace that, as we continue to pursue that, let's embrace who we really are and stop being fake. And let's give it all back over to Jesus so we can be fully devoted to him as we end this school year, as we end this year at Reckless, as we head into the summer. Some of you are about to head into college. Some of you juniors, provided that you actually pass 11th grade, you're going to be running the school as the new group of seniors. Everybody's going to progress up to the next level. You got a new batch of freshmen that are going to come up that y'all are going to all get a chance to influence and to lead. Let's go into the summer and go into the fall being just truly real people, honest with each other, pursuing Jesus with everything we have, because that's what God's called us to be. So let's pray together. God, thank you so much that we can be these people, that we can be more and more the person that you have made us to be. that we can give over the fake areas of our life to you, and you can turn them into something real, turn them into something beautiful, God. And so we just pray that you would do that in us. I pray for the student that's in this room right now that has no idea who you are. I pray that they would take a step towards you, whether that's asking somebody here that they know about who you are, who this Jesus is that we're talking about, and that they would pursue you and seek the truth, because when we seek the truth, we'll find it. And I pray for the students that are in here that know about you, and they know about Jesus, and they know that there is a God, but yet they don't really show any evidence of that in their life. And how they act and the things they say and the things they do and the way they spend their time throughout the weeks, God, I just pray for them to take an honest assessment of their life, and that they would move from being okay with being fake to not being okay with being fake. And give that stuff to you and just truly seek you with their whole heart. To press more into who you really made them to be. And not to continue to live in this fake shell that sometimes we can hide in. And God, for all of us in here, just pray that as we see areas of our life that are fake, that are not who you really made us to be, that we would continue to give those things over to you, God. We would continue to repent when we need to repent, that we would say sorry to you and to other people when we need to say sorry, God, that you would keep us humble, and just focus on your son, Jesus. We just want to mimic his life. We want people to see him in us. And so I pray that for each and every one of these students and every one of these leaders here, God. We love you. Thank you so much that you've made Jesus available to us, and you've made yourself available to us through Jesus. We pray this in his name. Everybody said, amen.